for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good November. Man, oh man, what is time? That's a big month for me. November, our anniversary's 38th anniversary. My 65th birthday comes up this month. It's always good to get to November. Got my Jesus shirt on. I'm going to get some of these made up for you guys out there. This always turns head when I go places. It says property of Jesus, XXL, and then 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. I got it at a yard sale. I haven't been able to find one since, so just, Lord, just impressed upon me. I'm going to get some shirts on, some sweatshirts made, get them out. I'm wearing a sweatshirt because it's cold here in my studio today. It didn't turn the heat on, and it dipped down a little bit for us. I'm in a better mood than yesterday, although if you didn't see yesterday's, you need to go back and watch it. Heard from a lot. I got a lot of people who responded and said, wow, Coach, I'd never looked at it that way. That's what we try to do here. Try to change your perspective on the way you see things. Not change your perspective on right and wrong or truth, because truth is always truth. But change your perspective. Sometimes the changing of or the clarifying of one word changes everything. We've been so programmed. Christianese is what I call it. God loves everybody. Jesus loves you, brother. Really? Show me where that one is, would you please? That's what we dived into yesterday, and got some friends and got some people who weren't quite friends as a result of it. Some of them still out there. Are you an Armenian? And are you a dispensationalist? And no, I'm a Christian. I don't even know what that crap is. I don't even know what you're talking about. I just pick up the Bible and I try to follow along. And I haven't been to seminary and cemetery. I haven't been to any of that stuff. I've been in the school of the wilderness. I open up the Bible. I read it. I listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, that's why we're here. Before I really dive into stuff, I got some good stuff today. This sounds really arrogant. But if I wasn't doing this show, I'd be watching it. Because every day, my goodness, we hit on a good nugget. For those of you who wonder, Roger's been having some trouble with his mic. He hadn't been able to get on. And Dave, he hadn't been able to do that for a few days. So I spoke to him yesterday. He's up and running. We got other guys out there who are watching who, they're driving to work. They're doing different. I hear from them. Some are guys who used to be in here regularly. And they're still here. They're just not part of it. Today we got 22 people. This would be awesome if this could be the day that we hit 30. Love to get 30 people in there. I got Big Rich. I want to pull Big Rich in because I want to talk about, hey, Jared, go to our Facebook page and get up those two videos ready on my Facebook page. I want to show them. Big Rich, give us a full update there, brother, of your last day down there on the ground in Port Arthur, and tell us what that lady told you the estimate was to fix her house. Welcome aboard, Rich.
Hey, morning, everybody. Yeah, we're winding down here. We're all heading back home today. Dave gave us 5 houses. One of them wasn't ready. Thank God, because we couldn't have got to it. But we pretty much completed all 4. The last one, Miss Linda's, only has a couple more sheets to put up. But Dale's got another crew coming in Thursday. Anyway, wow. Miss Linda's told Jim Bob and Mark when I took the guys back yesterday that she got her estimate in for the work that needed to be done on her house, the drywall and the clean out. And, it was $17,000. So in about 10 hours work. Well, I'd say it was more than that. Day and a half. We did $17,000 worth of work for her. Was tickled to death.
And what did it cost her, Rich?
It cost her nothing.
It cost her nothing. And she was the one that's saying, you know, they come along and tell her $17,000, and that sounds good. She don't have $100.
Well, she's the lady with all the family, and they're living in the hotel up here. And it's, you know, they are just grateful. And, you know, I told the guys yesterday, you know, it's going to have a huge impact when, you know, these four families are going to be four of the first families that get back in their home, and all their neighbors are still going to be waiting. They're still going to be trying to find people to do their house, you know, and it's got to have an impact on them, Dave, when they see themselves back in the home, in their home, and why they're back there. Yeah. Guys from all over the country join with them and help them out. I mean,
people they don't even know. Hey, Rich, no. you were that good Samaritan, weren't you, brother? You didn't cross over on the other side of the road. And you said, you know, I can't do a whole lot, but I can fix this house. And it sure matters to her.
Yeah, Dave, we're grateful for you guys and the donors that, you know, made a way for us to be able to do this. I mean, it picked our spirits up. You know, I don't want to keep beating the horse. You know, we can't wait to come again. I mean, man, it does something to it. It's lifelong relationships that we're establishing, and it's awesome.
Well, I'm going to show you a couple of videos here that Rich made yesterday. Folks, I just impressed upon the Lord to say this again. If you guys gave $20 a month, then we could guarantee the next time, the next crew that goes down, the expenses are paid. $20 a month. Come on now. Come on, man. This isn't hard to do for all of us. And we can guarantee, see, Rich, last time you went down, you had to drive a day down and you had to drive a day back. You lost 2 days just traveling, didn't you?
Yeah.
This time you go hop on a plane in your home.
I mean, we're wore out. I'm grateful we don't have to take off this morning and drive, you know, 18 hours home. It does helpful.
Amen. Well, guys, I want to show you what a great leader Rich is. I do appreciate it, Rich. I'm not blowing smoke up behind him. You know that. Rich made a couple videos before he left. The two guys who these guys contacted me out of the blue. Anthony, Tony, and Daniel. And somebody said, you're spelling Daniel's name wrong. No, he spells it D-A-N-I-A-L, Daniel, the way he spells it. Daniel came all the way from Spokane, I think, wasn't it, Rich? And Tony came all the way from Minneapolis. Both of them contacted me and said, that, you know, Coach, I'd love to be able to go down there, but I can't get down there. And so I said, we'll get you down there, boys. We'll get you down there. And here's what I want you – both of these videos are about – I keep impressing this upon anybody who will hear me, okay? Pastors, are you listening to me, pastors? Men come alive when they serve. They come alive when they serve, all right? This is Anthony Houston from Minneapolis. He contacted me, said, I'd love to go, Coach. I don't have the money to get down there. I'd love to go help. I said, we'll get you down there, Anthony. Bought him a plane ticket, bus ticket. He had to have a couple buses. Doesn't have two nickels to rub together. And I want you to just watch in this brief interview that Rich does. I want you to watch, just watch the light in this guy's eye. And I'm telling many of you out there, whether it's going to an abortion clinic or a gay pride parade or helping people that are in need, if you want your faith to come alive, you're going to have to get your butt out of the pew. You're just going to have to do it, man. Just going to have to. Go ahead and play this. We'll go play this one from Anthony Houston in Minnesota. Anthony, I hope you're watching this morning, man. God bless you. Go ahead and play this for Anthony.
And this is Brother Tony, all the way from Minnesota. He's got the same story as Daniel, pretty much. He heard John Hagman one night, heard the call, didn't have anything going on, and decided, hey, I'm going to reach out and try and go down there and serve. And that's exactly what he did. And the donations that you got put this guy, his boots on the ground. He hung drywall all week, mostly in a room by himself, doing it himself, because we didn't have enough for three teams. And just took the load off and helped us progress each and every day more than we thought we would. Same question, Daniel. What would you, or Tony, I'm sorry, what would you say to guys that are sitting at home and stagnant in their faith and they just know there's more? What would you say that this trip did for you?
I'd say if you're having trouble in the church you're in, or you've been to a few churches and they're just not doing it for you, get boots on the ground with a team like this. And it's going to make a big difference in your life. Between the fellowship and all the things I've learned about the Bible and how these guys really are. I think we all were here for the same reason, just to help these poor people. And when you see the smile on their faces when we get done, and they're going to be the first ones back in their house, and it's going to, everybody's going to know just who did it. You know, it was the church reaching out.
And in our conversation, you left the church a few years ago, and I asked you, what kind of outreach did you do there? I mean, how many people did you help while you were in, compared to what you did this week?
We didn't do any outreach at all.
You going home feeling like a man, like you served Jesus, put a smile on his face?
Yeah, I feel better than I've felt in years. It was great. I've been praying for the Lord to lead me, and when I saw you, Coach, I thought it was just the right fit. And hopefully I'll get to come back real soon.
Thank you. Tony, love you, brother, man. It was great serving with you. Can't wait to do it again. God bless. Have a safe trip home.
God bless you. That's a guy, he would tell you, he didn't have any money. And what he provided to these people, you cannot buy. You cannot buy. But look at the blessing that he got out of it. Now, here's Daniel. Daniel, same thing, Spokane, Washington. He said, I'd like to come. I can't get there. Well, we had the funds to get Daniel there. And just watch this brother glow. Go ahead, Jared. Let's play Daniel here. Rich, hang on a minute. Hang on a second. I just want to salute. I want to salute Rich for taking the time to do this, because I think Rich really speaks into these guys' lives. I think, as again, they glow. And the message I'm trying to send out this morning, man, come on. You want to come alive? You want to get out of the shallows of Christianity? Man, let your faith come alive. Go ahead there, Jared, play Daniel. Daniel's from...
It's Rich. We just got to Houston Airport, and I just want to do a short video. This is Brother Daniel. He come in from Spokane, Washington. Just to give you a little background, he heard about he heard you on Hagman one night, and was sitting at home and decided he wanted to reach out and maybe help down here. So this is Daniel, who you flew down from Spokane. Man, what an asset! This dude run around like the Energizer Bunny all week, with a smile on his face, picking up whatever, wherever the need was. He's seen it before we even needed it and took care of it. So I just wanted to introduce you to Daniel. And hey, Dan, what can you tell the guys that are sitting at home that's left the church, or they're just stagnant in their faith and they know there's more? After serving down here this week, what would you say to them?
I'd say that this is the best chance to get off my butt and go down and serve people and meet needs. The needs down there are so great. It's unfathomable until you actually meet the people, when you realize how great the people are in everything that we do. It's just amazing. The fellowship that we've had, between the meals and the guys, were just fantastic. But to everybody, every man out there sitting on this couch right now, God has a purpose for you. And boy, you know what? When we look up, we get up and we can praise God by getting our hands dirty, getting needs met of those people that need it the most. That's what's important.
Amen.
That's what's important.
Amen. And just to give a little plug to Coach and those that donate to him, he paid for your airfare. He paid for your hotel room, right?
Yes.
He paid for your meals, for the most part. And in a week, going from Spokane, Washington, all the way down here, you said what? You spent about $40 of your own money just to...
Yes.
Just to, this dude did our laundry last night. We were exhausted, and he's an Energizer buddy, and we were out of clothes, and he stayed back, gave up dinner to do all our laundry. Can you believe that? What a brother. Daniel, we love you. Can't wait to serve with you again.
I can't wait to be back.
You're an absolute blessing.
Thank you, Coach Dame. Thank you, Hagman. Without you, mostly God, this would not be possible. It's possible because you listen to what God wants from you. I do the same. I always pray on it, and this is where he led me. He tells me to go, I go.
God bless, Dan. Right. Have a safe trip.
Whatever he says unto you, do it. The Rich and Jim and Jim Bob and Mark and Daniel and Rich, who's the chef who's broke? What's his name?
David Brown from Arkansas. And I tell you what, Dave, I want to talk to you this week, man. We got to, when we go on these things, we got to get him plugged in. He saved Fast Assault. So, I mean, we're supposed to be good stewards of God's money. And I tell you what, this guy is amazing. And his faith come alive this week too. I mean, you know, we didn't know where he was going to fit in. Jim Kraft says, man, what do you do? And he said, I'm a chef. And Jim says, well, get to cooking. And man, he cooked meals for us every night for $40. He fed 10 people a night for $40.
And you know, Rich, he told me that he told me he's going to go home. He doesn't know if his home's going to be there. He doesn't have any money.
We're going to help him, Dave. We're going to help him.
Well, that's what I'm saying, folks out there listening right now. You send some funds to us. We'll make sure that he gets them. All right.
I got an email from him, a text from him last night, Dave. I mean, this guy was really down. And at the end of the week, he sent me a text yesterday. He said, please, please, please include me if you guys ever do this again. Changed my life.
Yeah. Hey, Chad, it's Church Camp for Adults, isn't it, brother? Church Camp for Adults. That's what it is. Yeah, God bless you.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Coach, can I say something?
Sure, please do.
A long time ago, I had the Holy Spirit come upon me, had me write something down, and it kind of applies here. Faith is power, but faith applied is freedom of the heart.
Wow, freedom of the heart. Boy, isn't that what we're looking for? Hey, folks, isn't that what you're looking for? Freedom of the heart? That's your heart free? Amen, brother. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Or switch gears here? Oh, good.
Sure, let your heart soar. That's what it is. That's what we all want to change to do.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? I got some good stuff I want to share with you today. Guys, we got to keep people engaged. We got to get men engaged. I heard from Don Voss. Hey, Don, I ate that sauerkraut last night. Man, oh, man, oh, man, with that good. Don, maybe some sauerkraut. I got some guys up in Wisconsin now who want some signs. I got to get some signs up to them. They're on fire. I got some big news breaking this week. I forgot to tell you guys about this. It's going to be big news. You ready? Here's the big news. I don't have a copy of it, I don't think, Jared. Office Max refused to print a flyer for us up in Wisconsin because we're bringing in Pete LaBarbera to speak. Pete LaBarbera is an expert on the homosexual agenda. And it was nothing more than a sheet announcing Pete LaBarbera coming in, talking about the homosexual agenda, and Office Max would not print it. Going national today, going to be announced nationally all across the nation, a boycott of Office Max and some other stuff that's coming down the road. I'll try to, maybe as I play a video here or something, I'll get a chance to pull up that picture and show you exactly what it was that they would not print. By the way, it's Rob Pugh, who is doing it up there in Wisconsin. He goes to them for all their printing needs. He gives them thousands of dollars in printing. And they walk in there and the managers wouldn't print it because what? Why? 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 Well, we know why, don't we? And so we could say, well, Jesus loves you. Thank you. I'll go someplace else. Or we could go someplace else and show them how much Jesus, show them what Jesus feels about what they just did. This all comes back to the love, 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 love gospel that we talked about yesterday. Amen, boys. Okay, let me switch gears here.
Before you get into your new track, just talking on what you were just talking on, everybody out there just read Ezekiel chapters 25, 26, and read what happens to those people who take joy in giving troubles to and take joy in the destruction of God's people. And Office Max is in for it. That's all I can say.
Well, Larry, we're all God's children. We're all God's children.
I don't claim to come from a monkey. I don't claim some of these folks as my brothers and sisters. Now, I would love to, but at the present moment, no way.
Amen, Larry.
Amen. 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 Can I take you on a journey here today, fellas? I mean, this one is specifically from the Lord. I'm going to show you two scriptures real quickly. It just popped into my head. I got a bunch of scriptures I could share. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. But I want to talk today about, I want to talk to you about the word. No. I want to talk to you about word, the power of words. And first, John 1, John, Gospel John, verse 1 says, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the Word was God. Maybe I ought to pull it up there, Jared, so they will see that. John, Gospel of John. I think it's important you get this into your spirit. We're talking today, guys, about the power of words and how we've been duped. You say, Coach, you're not talking about the slaughter in New York City. No, I'm letting Vince handle that. I ain't worried about that. I'm not worried about that. John chapter 1. Let me see, Jared. I got to switch back here to my back over here. Because right there it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, hang on. Hang on. Words are very, very powerful. And we know that the scripture teaches, I'm going to show you some scriptures. Bear with me. I'm kind of shooting off the hip here. Here's where this whole thing came about in my mind. Yesterday, I spoke a little bit about on our Facebook page in particular. I posted something on the Facebook. We were talking yesterday, in fact, on the show, about Halloween as opposed to government school. Halloween, government school. And the usual argument pops up. And what is that usual argument? I see it every time I bring the subject up. Are you ready, boys? Are you ready? Well, I went to public school and I came out okay. Or my children went to public school and they came out okay. And so I simply want to ask one question. All right. Public schools are so good. Ask yourself this. Is the faith of your children as strong as and the same as the faith of their great-grandfather? Is America getting more Christian or less Christian? I'm not talking about your kid. Is your church getting more deeper into the Word or less? Is your church getting deeper into the Word or more shallow in the Word? And I think it's very, very easy to look around us and understand that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, to understand that the power of words has dumbed us down so much that we think we're producing Christians today. Somebody with me out there? Words have meaning, fellas. Words have meaning. And you mean to tell me that you think, I don't care who you are, when you tell me that you put your kids in public schools and they came out okay, my question is, compared to what? Compared to what? Okay, compared to what? Is Christ first? I mean, really first in the lives of your kids? Is Christ really first in the lives of your grandchildren? Or are your grandkids more excited about Halloween than they are about serving the Lord? See, you just got to examine fruit. That's all we have to do. And see, here's what happens. I'm going to tell you this. Parents get guilty. Because, see, the system that we live in has burdened us so much that mommies have to work. They have to work. Feminism has taught us how important it is for women to be out in the workplace. Well, why? Because they want to destroy the stinking family. That's why. And the culture teaches us, and the church teaches us. The church and the culture are teaching us the same thing. The churches are fighting to keep families together while the culture is doing everything they can to destroy families. Now, how are families being destroyed in the culture? Because you're sending them to the stinking government schools. I went to the government schools. I taught in the government schools. I was part of that system. And it's till I got my parole out of there and looked back in that I saw. And people, well, my kids do. My teacher has the, my girl daughters have the most wonderful teacher. How do you know? Can you tell me something? Why, she's nice? She's a wonderful teacher because she's nice? Is that it? And let me ask you this. Who's a little rugrat your kid's hanging out with at lunch? Been influenced by every day. Sitting in that class of 20 kids. Are they all little Christians sitting in there? Or some kid over, some yokel over here been doing video games all night, brings that spirit in with him the next day? Oh, but it's wonderful schools. Our schools are, I agree with you, Coach. Schools are bad, but our schools, our schools, not like that. You kidding me? You're willfully deceived. Willfully deceived. Jared, pull this up here. Oh, this is good, man. I warned you. You still got time to leave.
Hey, just like everybody's individual congressman is, oh, I hate Congress, but my congressman is okay. Have you seen what that congressman is doing in his house? Have you done what God told Ezekiel to do? Go down and check out the households of the priests until you know what that congressman is doing in his off the record time. You don't know whether he's a good person or not.
Amen, brother. Hey, Larry, good person. That's relative too. They're none good. None. No, not one. Oh, she's a wonderful teacher. Really? Compared to what? Compared to what is she a wonderful teacher? Come on, man. We can't even see what's going on right in front of us. So, Jared, you know me, man. We got her geared up here and ready to go, buddy. Pull up for me, Jared. The very first thing. Folks, are you sitting down? Here's what you ought to do. I look at the queue right now, and I see 22 people. You ought to text somebody right now, so you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. Turn into coach. You don't want to miss this. Five things Karl Marx wanted to abolish besides private property. You with me out there, boys and girls? You better be sitting down. Oh, our schools are great. We have the most wonderful principal. Have you seen our band? Oh, yeah. Are they teaching your children the fear of the Lord? Are they? Okay, here we are. This is called Infiltrated Nation. All five of these are under assault, to say the least. It's not a coincidence. Marxism is alive and prospering inside of America, hiding behind the guise of progressivism. I won't go into detail and insult your intelligence and explain further, trusting we are critical thinkers. But I'll just add that all five of these things in the headlines every day in one form or another, and the effort to destroy these five are all being destroyed with one clear and overriding strategy, incrementalism. Okay? Scroll down. Intellectual takeout. In the Communist Manifesto, Marx is especially candid regarding the aims of communism. One of the remarkable things about Communist Manifesto is it's honest. Keep going on down, Jared. So here are five things that Karl Marx wants to abolish. Here you are. Number one, hey, JR, the family. Hey, boys, is the family under assault? Hey, boys, is the family under assault in the public schools? Is the family under assault in the courts? Is the family under assault in the economy? Marx admits that destroying the family is a thorny topic even for revolutionaries. Abolition of the family, even the most radical flare-up at this infamous proposal of the communists, he writes. But he said opponents of this idea fail to understand a key fact about the family. Because what Marx says, of what foundation is the present family? The bourgeoisie is family-based. On what foundation is the present family, the bourgeois family, based? On capital, on private gain. It is completely developed form. This family exists only among the bourgeoisie, he says. Best of all, abolishing the family would be relatively easy once the bourgeoisie property was abolished. The bourgeoisie family will vanish as a matter of course when its complement vanishes, and both will vanish with the vanishing of capital. In other words, make the money so worthless that both mom and dad have to work all the time, and you'll destroy the family. Number two, you have to destroy individuality. Can you say public schools? Can you say get in line and march like a little soldier? Can you say if you get out of line, they give you pills and medicate the little boys, destroying little men because they don't act like women, don't act like little girls in the school? Karl Marx says, Let's destroy individuality. Here's what he says. In a bourgeoisie society, capital is independent and has individuality, while the living person is dependent and has no individuality. And the abolition of this state of things is called by the bourgeoisie abolition of individuality and freedom, and rightly so. The abolition of bourgeoisie individuality, bourgeoisie independence, and bourgeoisie freedom is undoubtedly aimed at. In other words, he wants to destroy the individuality, that you can't talk a certain way. You can't point out that something's wrong. You have to believe like everybody else, group thing. Number three, what does he want to destroy? Karl Marx wants to destroy eternal truth. Marx did not appear to believe that any truth existed beyond class struggle. The ruling ideas of each age have ever been the ideas of its ruling class, he argued. When the ancient world was in its last throes, the ancient religions were overcome by Christianity. When Christian ideas succumbed
ideas succumbed in the 18th century, the rational ideas. Feudal society fought its death battle with the then revolutionary bourgeoisie. Go down the next one, Jared. Undoubtedly, it will be said, religious, moral, philosophical, and juridical ideas have been modified in the course of historical development. But religion, morality, philosophy, political science, and law constantly survive this change. There are besides eternal truths, such as freedom and justice, etc., that are common to all states of society. But communism abolishes eternal truth. It abolishes all religion and all morality, and instead of constituting them on a new basis, it is therefore acts in contradiction to all past historical experience. Tear down General Lee! Get his statue out of here! Take down those Ten Commandments! What does this accusation reduce itself to? The history of all past society has consisted in the development of class antagonisms. Antagonism that assumed different forms at different epochs. You with me? Think public schools. Think your church. Think society. Think culture. Think TVs. Think movies. Nations. Karl Marx wanted to destroy nations. He said this, the working men have no country. We cannot take from them what they have not got. Since the proletariat must first of all acquire political supremacy, must rise to be the leading class of the nation, must constitute itself the nation, it is so far itself national, though not in the bourgeoisie sense of the word. Furthermore, he says, national differences and antagonism between people are daily more and more vanishing, owing to the development of the bourgeoisie, to freedom of commerce, to the world market, to uniformity in the mode of production, and then the conditions of life corresponding thereunto. Wow. And then here we go. Here we go. Karl Marx wanted to destroy the past. Marx saw tradition as a tool of the bourgeoisie. Adherence to the past served as a mere distraction in proletariat's quest for emancipation and supremacy. Marx says that in a bourgeoisie society, the past dominates the present. In communist society, the present dominates the past. Rewriting of history. Five things that Karl Marx set out to destroy. History. Scroll back down, Jared. He set out to destroy the family. He set out to destroy individuality. He set out to destroy eternal truths. He set out to destroy nations. And he set out to destroy the past. But your school's doing a great job, right?
Hey, Coach.
You have a great job.
One of my students here in New York has a book report that's due tomorrow, and one of the themes that they can select is analyzing it through the cultural lens of Marxism. And I don't get the feeling that they are being critical of that ideology when they teach it in schools.
In other words, they are spoon feeding him, said, you go study this because this is a good thing to learn. Go learn this, right? In the form of a book report, right?
Yeah, it's absolute garbage. Absolute garbage ideology. It's total propaganda.
But Steve, they have good schools. There's just some bad apples in this, Steve. For the most part, the schools are really, really good.
Hey, they're good, really, Coach. They're good at turning people away from the faith and destroying truth and deception and putting people in exposure to all different kinds of ideas. It'd be good if all of those ideas weren't absolutely wicked.
Steve, they're doing exactly what they were designed to do.
Yep,
Coach, if you look also at Mao Zedong, who led a campaign of whispers of don't you think, and then once he got into power, he abruptly turned right around and killed 60 million of those people, same people.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So he said that can never happen here, really. It's already happening here. Now, will you guys bear with me a second? I know you will, because this is gonna take a while. I just got to show you something. It just blew me away. Jared, pull up over here on the thing that just says Dobbenmeier. I I Googled this morning. Joe, are you ready to do some reading? Because I'm going to sit back and I'm going to let you do this. I want you guys to know something. I'm not new at this, all right? I wrote this, change the words, change the world. And I don't know, can anybody see on there when that was written, when this thing was written?
August 29th, 2009.
I wrote this 8 years ago, okay? Now, folks, reading is not, you know, I'm not supposed to do this on radio, but I want you to see something. I wrote this. Hey, Joe, can you read this?
Absolutely.
Let's go, brother. Hey, fellas, sorry to do this. It's important we hear this. Go ahead. By the way, time out a second. I remember writing this, but I want you to know something. This is otherworldly. Because when I read this, as I was reading it this morning, I said, are you kidding me? I wrote that. What? It's like I didn't even remember writing. But sit back. This is 8 years ago, given warning. Almost 9. Good, Joe.
Change the world. A nation can survive its fools, and even the ambitious. But it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic, so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear.
Unbelievable. Cicero. Cicero. Before Christ, Cicero said that. Okay, Joe, here we go. Folks, I'm sorry. Reading is not, you're not supposed to do it on radio. But I can't say it any better than this.
A coup has taken place in America. Our nation is no longer controlled by, quote, the people, unquote. Our domestic enemies are now officially in power. We are no longer free. We just think we are. And it has happened on our watch. What we have failed to realize is that the spiritual war and the cultural war were one in the same. Because of our ignorance, the church has engaged in the former but has ignored the latter. We did not understand that the quote-unquote war in the heavenlies manifests in our world. Our failure to fight the truth has given us a nation ruled by liars.
8 years ago. This is 8 years ago.
We are a sin-laden nation because we have codified evil into the law. Content to focus on the quote-unquote saving of souls, we have neglected Jesus' admonition to occupy until he comes. As evil flourished, the church retreated. We have failed to recognize that the battle in the heavenlies was for control of the earth. Jesus prayed that his kingdom would come on earth. We have yielded the earth and submitted to evil. Cicero was right. Evil did not come dressed up in a red suit and carrying a pitchfork. It has come clothed in a three-piece suit and brandishing an Ivy League degree. While we looked for an army riding tanks and planes, we have been overrun by a force promoting education and arts. Using guns and bullets would have been too obvious. This war has been fought and won with words. Language was their weapon of mass destruction. Paul warned us of this in Colossians 2:8. Quote, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Unquote. They called it multiculturalism, and it was promoted in our schools. But the formal name is cultural Marxism. It gave birth to quote-unquote political correctness, where thoughts became crimes.
8 years ago! 8 years ago!
But it did not happen by accident. The only thing standing between communism and world dominance was Western civilization and its underpinnings of the Christian value system. The only way communism could advance would be if Christianity could be rendered powerless, or as Jesus said, if the salt was to lose his savor. Do you remember the cries of the hippies? Hey, hey, ho, ho, Western Civ has got to go. It was the fight song of communism. The only thing preventing government from being God was the fact that the throne was already occupied. 20th century Americans believed that Jesus was God. The followers of Marx and his acolytes knew that in order to ascend to the throne, they would have to overthrow God. They would advance gradually, make haste slowly, was their mantra. I got to stop for a second, Coach.
Yeah.
I served aboard the USS Snook. Hold on a second. The USS Snook, SSN 592, the mantra, Festina Lente, make haste slowly.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Sorry, Joe. Laughing with you, not at you, brother. Laughing with you, not at you.
I understand. Where am I at?
Hey, the schools are doing a great job, though, Joe. I came out okay. Huh?
Yeah, me too. They would advance gradually, make haste slowly.
They seized our public school.
Was their mantra, and they would be patient. They seized our public schools and infiltrated the universities. They captured the media, Hollywood, music, art, literature, science, history, civic organizations, and the seminaries. They changed the world by changing the way we thought about words, tolerance, social justice, economic justice, peace, reproductive rights, sex education and safe sex, safe schools, inclusion, diversity, and sensitivity were their linguistic weapons. Is it just me, or are those words permeating all of society today? Do you think this has happened by accident?
Anybody getting ticked off yet? Anybody besides me getting ticked off yet? Schools are doing a great job. Our school, we have a wonderful school. Vote for the levy. Vote yes for children. Keep going, Joe.
They would use our children to impeach God. Applying critical theory, they would attack all things Christian. The Boy Scouts were bigots. The Ten Commandments were judgmental. Christmas was exclusive. And traditional marriage was discriminatory. They brainwashed us to think
that real Christians were inclusive and tolerant, that truth was relative, that all cultures were the same, and that homosexuality was not a sin.
Buckle up. Here we go.
They didn't have to kill Jesus, only his influence. To be considered a good citizen in this new America, one only had to be tolerant of everything and believe in nothing. In fact, to be sure that you kept your thoughts to yourself, they began to call certain thoughts, quote-unquote, crimes. They attacked you, and they even destroyed you if you dared to speak against them. Slowly, the voice of Jesus was muted. Into the void, the God-haters slinked. A different Christianity and a different America emerged. The God of judgment and wrath was dead, and a resurrected non-judgmental Jesus became the new God that the new America embraced. Democracy is the road to socialism, said Karl Marx. Democracy is indispensable to socialism, said his buddy Vladimir Lenin. Give us the child for 8 years, and it will be a Bolshevik forever. Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. A lie told often enough becomes the truth, Lenin went on to say. Pardon me. Elected officials call America a democracy. Our school books teach the same. Yet, we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic, a nation of limited government chained down by a constitution. Kill the constitution, and the Marxists can create or ignore the law. Change the words, change the world. Communism can only thrive in the absence of the gospel. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lady Liberty has been nearly decapitated. But the battle is far from over.
8 years ago.
Each one of us is going to have to make a decision on just how valuable we think liberty is. Are you willing to sit silently as the chains of slavery are forged for your children? Ben Franklin warned us, quote, anyone who trades liberty for security deserves neither liberty nor security, unquote. We should heed his words. Washington, D.C. is rapidly becoming the enemy. It is the terrorists with Ivy League degrees that should scare us. The ideological wars are really a religious war. I was going to scream, Coach.
Me too, brother.
Because this is exactly how I feel. I'm going to read that again. Washington, D.C. is rapidly becoming the enemy. It is the terrorists with Ivy League degrees that should scare us. The ideological wars are really a religious war. Spirit war. Pardon my French. Intellectual terrorism has reaped more havoc on this land than Al-Qaeda ever will. Will the God of the Bible and the principles that he declares rule on earth? Or will we give into the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world? Our generation will make the decision.
Hey, Joe, let me bring it home here.
Go ahead.
Marxists are in control of America. They're not liberals. They're not progressives. They're communists. The godless system has failed every place it's ever been tried. America's the beachhead. Will she be overthrown? Will Jesus lose this spiritual battle? Will he yield the world once again to the devil? I think not. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are his ambassadors on earth. It's time to do our duty. So here's a good place to start. Let's take back our language. Stop allowing the cultural Marxists to create new labels. We must call things what they are. Progressives are liberals, and liberals are Marxists. Conservatism is counterfeit salt. Pro-choice means pro-baby murder. A fetus is an unborn child. Tolerance means acceptance of sin. Gays are sodomites. Affirmative action is white male discrimination. An undocumented worker is an illegal alien. The mainstream media are Marxists. The religious left are humanists. Humanistic socialist. Social justice means the advancement of homosexuality. Reproductive rights is a buzzword for abortion. Sex education is destruction of natural childhood modesty. Economic justice is welfare. Government investment means taxation. Sensitivity means keep your mouth shut. Diversity validates every deviant way to engage in sex. A Republican is a socialist and a Democrat is a communist. An expert is an academician with no practical experience. Public education is atheistic, humanistic indoctrination. Separation of church and state legalizes Christian discrimination. Supreme Court decisions are opinions and are not laws. Christianity is not a religion. It's a kingdom. Change means communism.
Amen.
America can be saved if Americans will wake up. Look at this list of self-proclaimed socialists in Congress. They have seized a republic. Stop using their words. Words have power. Let's call a Marxist a Marxist. Stand up and speak up. Our kids are depending on us. Otherwise, boys, I'll see you in the gulag. That's 8 years ago, fellas. And that's it in a nutshell. But the schools are doing a great job. I came out okay.
Well, now you know why I record your stuff. And when I record it, I can do it in multiple sessions to put it together so that it's a perfect output.
Hey, Joe.
When I saw that make haste slowly, I screamed.
Is that freaking amazing that came out of me 8 years ago? Is that unbelievable? Somebody jump in here.
1972 to 75 in Vietnam.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Coach. You know, being righteously angry at the public schools is absolutely one of the ways to start fixing this mess. But there's something even more basic than that, and you've talked about it a lot, and that is the parents that send their kids to public schools are the same bench warmers that sit on these long benches or cushion seats in buildings that have the name church out in front of it, that have nothing to do with connection to God the Father through Jesus Christ, have everything to do with your best life now or what other stupid philosophy is being taught inside of there that is not the truth. Now, you know, there's a lot in the Bible about winnowing and, you know, this. The chaff is going to be separated from the wheat. You know, hey, the disciples asked Jesus, hey, you want us to go get rid of all these weeds out here? No. It says the weeds, you let them grow right in amongst the good stuff. It says the time will come when those weeds get harvested before the good people. You know, and you talk about the negation of the rapture. Those weeds get yanked out before the good people get lifted up.
Yeah,
just read what Jesus had to say. That winnowing, that's where you take a pitchfork, boy, a pitchfork, because, you know, it's one of the symbols we have for Satan. You take a pitchfork and you stick it in a stack of wheat and you throw it up in the air and the wind blows the chaff away and the heavier wheat goes down and you do it again and again and again until finally there's nothing but wheat grain left. Our churches are undergoing a winnowing. If they're not, they should be. And those of you that have ears to hear, get out from among them.
Let me throw another one here, fellas. Can I show you how bad this is? You get in your car today. Vince, you get on a bus. I don't suppose they have cars there in Brooklyn. You get on a bus, you get in a car, and you drive down the road today, and I want you to point out to me how many churches are empty. Now, I don't mean churches closed. I mean churches who are open on Sunday, and they have a service on Sunday, but through the week, there ain't nobody there. And can somebody tell me why every pastor in America is not doing everything he can to train the kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord by opening up the school to homeschoolers, to Christian education? You don't take money. We got guys down in Texas restoring homes. They don't need money to do it. They need to see a need and go fill it. And our churches are wide open every day. Go around. You might be able to rent one. But you won't find the pastor on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday trying to train the kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But you'll find him Friday night at the stinking football game.
Right. Right. Well, the problem is they're teaching diversity in the stupid churches. That's what the problem is. It's ridiculous. And then we're having dumb psyops in like yesterday in New York, like you said. You know, they're psyops. They're just covering for the leak on the Podestas.
They're doing it on purpose, Vince. They're doing it on purpose to us, man. Ridiculous. We're too stupid to understand it.
No, they think we're too stupid. But we don't ingest high fructose corn syrup. We don't ingest fluoride, and we don't drink more liquor.
Amen. Somebody jump in. We got 4 minutes.
I want to clarify one thing concerning the wheat and the tares. They get harvested together. Okay.
Amen.
It is the throwing up, the turmoil. If we are not with the Lord, okay, we get blown away.
Hey, Joe, I heard somebody say yesterday, boy, the Lord must be mad, all these calamities. God must be mad. I said, yeah, he must be mad. But it never dawned on you. He's trying to wake you up. Trying to wake you up.
Alarm clock.
Amen.
Is that George? Somebody tried to jump in here. I walked all over him. Who was it? Dale, was that? I'm sorry, Dale. Go ahead, man. Didn't mean to kick you in the teeth like that.
No, that, I'll probably, come on, man. My skin's thicker than that.
I know it is. I still apologize.
It's good stuff today. Hey, coaches, sir, it's like trying to wake up a teenager, man. If they could sleep all day, they would. That's the majority of the church. They want to sleep. They're in a cozy bed. They're in a cozy pew. They love it. But here's a little history for everybody. One of the first federal taxes, one of the first federal taxes on the American citizen. Print 20,000 Bibles and put them in the school systems to be taught.
Yep. Amen.
Look it up. Now look at it.
They're Schofield Bibles. That's the problem.
And in my church, brother, look, there's a remnant of us, brother. I actually teach civics from the pulpit because I already know they're not teaching it in school. So my kids in my church, they know. Didn't know that. I said, of course you didn't know that, because they don't want you to know that. If you want to change the present and future, you got to change the past. And so they're rewriting that past, exactly what Karl Marx said.
Folks, let me give you a challenge here. I think this is as important a show as we've ever done. I believe that this is as important a show as I've ever done. And I ask you to do this: forward it, share it with people. Listen, you want to talk about a bucket of cold water in the face of most Christians? This is it right here. They're griping and moaning and complaining about Halloween, sending their kids to the public schools because they have a nice teacher. Oh, she's so young and pretty nice. Wake up, pastors! Wake up, pastor! Get off the bandwagon! Get out and lead the parade! Hey, brother, let me tell you something. If you're out there walking, if you're going someplace and nobody's following you, you ain't a leader. You're just out for a walk. Get up and do something, man. Get up and do something. Fellas, share this. Share this. Karl Marx told us the five things that he wanted to destroy. Chris Fletcher says his children go to Christian school and they still monitor it. Oh, I could tell you some stories about that one. Huh? I could tell you some stories about that one. That's for sure.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just as a matter of biblical accuracy, Matthew 13:49, Jesus speaking, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. The wicked are going to be taken out first. And there's another one that talks about he will send his angels into the fields and they will take out the weeds first.
They will bundle up the tares and burn them. That's exactly what it says. Hey, fellas, folks, open up your stinking eyes, will you? Come on, man, get out of your comfort zone. I wrote that 8 years ago. 8 years ago. We've lost 8 years since I've written it. Time for men of God to arise. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.